Or not, we're still in Colossians. Been in Colossians about 3 months now, and we'll wrap it up next Sunday. This morning we're in chapter 3, but I want to take you back to the beginning for a little bit of review, if you don't mind. Or even if you do mind, I guess. That's where I'm going. It's a short letter, but when we cut it up a week at a time, each sermon could feel detached from the rest. So I just want to quickly review some of the high points from chapter 1, and then we'll get to chapter 3 here. There's this brilliant prayer in chapter 1 that really is the outline of the book. Look at chapter 1, verse 9. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption." Now you may find yourself needing strength and wisdom in the hard times. It's part of the journey. It's part of the pilgrimage of being a disciple. We need the right clothes for the journey. And this morning we're going to talk about putting on our traveling clothes, the clothes for this pilgrimage of discipleship. God provides the wisdom, He provides the power through His Spirit, and we have to choose to dwell with Him, to go with Him, to pursue Him in order to be prepared for the challenges and the hard times. We have to choose to be clothed in His virtues. Now, the next thing he addressed in chapter 1, and right up front, it's brilliantly stated about the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. You see, because Christ is who He is, and because of what He has done, we need no other spiritual being to guide us outside the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We need no other spiritual being to guide us. There are other spiritual beings, but we do not look to them. We do not worship angels. We do not worship the saints. You don't need some special knowledge of any other spiritual being other than the Almighty. Those things exist, but they are created by God. Therefore, they are subject to God. That's pretty simple. They're created by God and they are subject to God. And Christ is supreme above them all. And so we worship the Creator, not the creation. We need to know Jesus Christ, the person of God who has come in flesh to show us completely the Word and the will of God. And it's through the grace work of Jesus Christ that we come to God and we know Him. And I think if the best sentence I've been able to come up with just to summarize this letter from Paul's perspective is, we want you to grow up well in your faith. We want you to mature. We want you to be able to handle the hard things and the false doctrines that come along. Now, as Pastor Tim preached last Sunday, we need to set our heart on things above. We have to. Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your hearts on things above, from the throne of the Lord, not on earthly things. That's the beginning of Colossians chapter 3. Just look at the beginning of chapter 3, because what we're going to say further into the chapter is reliant on those first few words. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, but for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Part of living a life worthy of Christ is putting off the old self, putting off the old ways, and putting on the new. Put to death the things of the flesh, of the world, and put on the new. And verses 5 through 11 there in chapter 3 tell us about the old. That, and you all read that last week. By the way, thank you for letting Sandy and I have a week off. We had a great time. Heard some good preaching. I want to tell you, I was listening to these preachers last week and I thought, I wish our people could hear this kind of preaching. This is good. It's good. But the word of the Lord is the best. Our aim today is to move on into the chapter and get to the good behavior and the good choices that replace the old life. Put on, clothe yourself with the character of Christ. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Now, Galatians 5 has a very similar list, and we often refer to that as the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the same thing today here in the Colossians letter. Now, before we read, what happens if you take off the old stinking clothes and do not replace them with something better? Well, first of all, you're naked. We don't want to travel naked. That's just not a good plan. But you also don't want to go back to those old stinking clothes. And that's what we tend to do. We get rid of them and then we go back there and we put them on again. And sometimes we're just slow to learn. We don't want to do that. We want to replace the old with the new. Get yourself a new wardrobe. And this time from the closet of the King. Is that a good image? That you could pick out your clothes from the closet of the King. Now, in biblical terms, that's a white robe. You may not want to wear a white robe right now. We will when we get to glory, I reckon. It just obviously stands for purity. And we'll get there someday. But just think about picking out your clothes in the King's closet. Now, I'm sorry to say, This is the caveat, I guess. This is a lifelong process. It's not overnight. It's not just like walking into the closet and then everything's different. It's not like just going into the baptism and then shazam, everything is glorious and easy the rest of your life. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not that way. You know that. But wouldn't it be nice if we could just dip you in the water and all the old stuff is gone? But you see, the reality is we still have to deal with the sin nature. As long as we're in this body on this earth, we have to deal with the sin nature. And so the old stuff is still trying to get our attention, and we battle it. We have to keep battling it. Just recognize it's a lifelong event. We keep on becoming like Christ. We continue and learn to grow in Him. Now, we mature. If we follow the advice of this book, we keep on maturing. We get better at resisting the old ways, and we get better at living as Christ would intend for us to live. We continue to learn and grow in faith. Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim, preaching from the end of chapter 2, reminded us that we don't need legalism. We don't need mysticism. We don't need asceticism. That's treating your body in harsh ways to be more religious. We don't need those things. We need Jesus Christ. We must remain in Him and He in us. We must abide in His Word, hold on to His teaching. And that's just what Jesus said to a group of Jewish people who were beginning to believe Him. He said, "Hold on to my teaching and you truly will be my disciples." Stay in His Word. And so we train our minds, we train our hearts with spiritual disciplines like Bible study and prayer and worship and serving and singing. And this training develops a Christ-like character which enables us to accomplish his mission as he told us, go make disciples of all nations. Okay, now we're going to read the description of God's holy people when they are clothed with the character of Christ. This is the wardrobe we want. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's gorgeous. That's just good, good scripture, good word. You are God's chosen people. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you are chosen. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile or white or brown or slave or free. If you are in Christ, you are chosen. It says here, you are holy, H-O-L-Y. You're holy and dearly loved. Please believe these statements. As disciples of Jesus, you are set apart for God's purposes. You need to put that right up front. As disciples of Christ, we are set apart for his purposes. Chosen to live a life of faith. You are chosen to reflect his character. So get on with it. God loves you. He created you. He died for you. He lives for you. He sends his Spirit to commune with your spirit for guidance and counsel and comfort. You are holy and dearly loved. Believe it. Let that knowledge surround your anxiety and your fears and your troubles. You see? Let the knowledge of who you are in Christ just completely encase all your troubles, and you will know the peace of Christ, which is even beyond our understanding. Another way to say it is enjoy your inheritance. You have a grand inheritance as heirs to the kingdom of God. Enjoy it. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy it. We abide in the teaching of Christ. We learn to walk in faith. We learn to love one another. And we bear much fruit. The kind of fruit that's described here in what we just read. And this is how this particular letter describes the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord. And just for a fun exercise, you may want to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. You don't have to do that right now, but I'm saying at some point you might. I did this the other day. I just wrote in a column all of the characteristics described here in Colossians, the fruit of the Spirit. And then I went to the Galatians passage and did the same thing. And I drew the old-fashioned matching lines across the columns. Some of you are old enough that you've done that. And you know what I learned? It's describing the same thing. Now, some of the words are different. There were several words in Colossians that are not in Galatians and some in Galatians that are not in Colossians. What does that mean? Does it mean one of the list is wrong and one's right? No. It means that Paul was simply writing letters to people he cared about, trying to describe in ways they would understand and assimilate what it looks like to put on the character of Christ. And here are the clothes we should be putting on for our journey. As we read them, compassion, kindness, humility. And I know he put that one in there for preachers. Gentleness, patience. Do these words describe you? Should I ask your family or your schoolmates if these words describe you? And then he went on to describe some other virtues of the Christian disciples. Bear with each other. Forbearance. And he says, if you offend one another, you know, have a little grace. Maybe there's a miscommunication. Maybe it's a bad day. Maybe I just didn't understand. And even if I did, look, being offended is a choice. You do understand that, don't you? People don't offend you. We choose whether or not we're offended. Bear with one another. And when your brother or sister is carrying a burden, help. Doesn't mean you need to own it, but help any way you can. And then forgiveness, he says, forgive each other. And he put a condition on this one. As God forgives you. That's a powerful condition. That's an incredible condition, really. Why would Paul put a condition on this one, forgiveness? You know why? Because Jesus did. You see, he's just repeating what Jesus told us. You can find it in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Forgive as God has forgiven you. And then love. Now, in Galatians, love leads the list. But here, it's like a blanket or a garment that comes over the rest and ties it all together. Love brings other virtues into unity. Love is a blanket that covers all disciples and brings the church into unity. Love covers a multitude of sins. And he goes on to describe the peace of Christ. And Joel Terry did a fabulous job of talking about that in men's breakfast yesterday, the peace of Christ. In the midst of irritations and attacks and troubles and adversity, the ability to have peace no matter what you're facing. And I want to tell you, to have the peace of Christ, you have to go to the source, our Savior. There's no other way. In fact, the scripture in the Philippians letter, it describes the peace as transcending our understanding. It goes beyond our understanding. The peace of Christ, beyond which we can understand. And we need it so desperately. And he sort of ends the list there with thankfulness. And he mentions thankfulness throughout this letter. A spirit of gratitude. Developed by knowing what God has done and what God is doing. I want to tell you, if you understand what God has done for you and what God is doing, you will be thankful. My pastor in another place, he said, if you're having a sin problem, you've got a worship problem. You're not worshiping the Lord. You don't understand what he's done for you. And we cannot purchase these qualities. We can't go to the store and buy these things. They have to be developed. It is a lifelong process, the sanctification process, becoming more and more like Christ. Look at verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. The English Standard Version says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We must be in Christ teaching. We have to hold on to his teaching. If we're going to learn this behavior, we have to learn it from somewhere, and we need to go to the right source, the word of God. And that takes us right back to where we started, I think. We need to pursue Christ. We need to set our mind on things above. Hebrews says, fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to go to the source. We need to know what God wants. We learn His teaching. And God's design for this journey, this pilgrimage that we're on, includes community. And we can thank Him for that. We don't have to go alone. The letter says here to teach and admonish each other with all wisdom. You see, we do need each other. We need love to cover us completely so that our teaching and correcting and training in righteousness is right and it is affirming. It should never have a brutal spirit. You know, teaching we're pretty good at, honestly. We have some very talented teachers in this church. We do. We have a lot of good teachers in this church. I'm not sure we're that great at it, at the admonishing part. Sometimes our Southern hospitality and our politeness keep us from maybe helping each other when we could. Admonishing means to warn, to advise, to counsel. And often today we talk about that with the word accountability, holding each other accountable and having accountability partners. And that's good, that's right. There's just lots of ways that we need to help each other in the Word. Jason Shaw is teaching a Wednesday night equipping class on basic biblical counseling. He is very passionate about that task. And thank you, Jason, for helping us with that. Just learning how to bring Scripture to bear as we help each other. Just as we go along the road. He's not trying to make official counselors out of all of us. Just as we go through life and we help each other to know how to bring Scripture to bear in that process. And then we also have a marriage class going on Wednesday nights for this semester. And Doug and Carolyn Jones are leading that to equip couples to do life well together. Learning to build each other up rather than tear each other down. And the last part of the chapter that we'll get to next week is all about that. Just bringing these characteristics into our relationships. Our advice, our warning, our counsel to each other must be founded on God's Word, His teaching, or else we create our own brand of worship. And some of it may be toxic. Now, admonishing is not idle complaining or grumbling. It is not nitpicking. It should be helpful instruction, positive encouragement in truth and in love. And I think Paul anticipated some friction when people correct each other. Look at verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. He did not say, beat each other up in the name of the Lord. You see, that would actually be misusing His name. That would be defiling His name, using it in vain. Well, I want to wrap this up and bring it back to Jesus' own teaching. But let me just recap from the beginning of chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. This is important. You have to get the foundation. You have been raised with Christ. So set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. And then in verse 12 we read, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And he goes on. The journey of a disciple demands change. I hope you understand that. We don't need to change people and clean them up before they know Christ. But it is part of the process after we know Christ. We need, the discipleship journey demands change. So take off. Put to death the old earthly nature and put on the new life. The character of Jesus. And God sends His Spirit to bring power and wisdom and counsel, but we must make the effort. We have to choose to go His way. And Jesus Himself said, "Whoever does not carry their cross and follow Me cannot be My disciple." That's in that comes from Luke 14:27. And a little bit earlier in Luke, in chapter 9, He said, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Me." I hope you see the connection there to what we're reading in Colossians. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Take off the old life. The cross is an implement of death. When Jesus tells us to take up our cross, He's saying to put the old life to death and take up the new. Take off those old stinking clothes of worldly living and nail them to the cross. Then put on the new life of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit described here in Colossians 3 and in Galatians 5 tell us how that life is manifest. They tell us what it looks like. These virtues should be describing us in ever-increasing proportion. And remember, it's not an overnight transition. It's a lifelong pursuit, a journey, a pilgrimage. And we need to be intentional about it. We need to help each other in community. Disciples of Jesus, abide in Him. And we learn to walk in faith. And we learn to love one another. And we bear much fruit. Fruit like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, love, peace, and thankfulness. There's an old hymn that talks about our journey, especially the second verse of the hymn. As we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. I think the writer was talking about all the clouds of trouble, all the pain and the sorrow that come with living on earth. Clouds will overspread the sky as we walk this pilgrim journey. When these traveling days are over, there will not be a shadow of clouds. There will be no sighs of sorrow. When these traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh, when we all get to heaven. Do you want to sing that? Would you like to sing that together? Music team, would you come? We're going to sing that hymn. I hope we've got the second verse included. If not, we're going to go back and put it in. Go ahead and stand. If you want to, you can look at the screen. The words are in the hymnal 514. Let's sing together. And put on the right clothes for the journey.